Hey, the It's Time for Coffee podcast is powered by the Converge Podcast Network. Hey friends, it's time for coffee, and I'm your friend and host, Jeanette. I'm so glad that you're here today. I hope you know by just pressing play on that podcast app, you have a friend with you. My hope is that as you listen, you will know that you are heard, valued, loved, and not alone no matter what stage of life you're in. I hope that you're subscribed so you never miss an episode, and it would mean the world to me if you left a rating or review. I'm so glad you're here, and I cannot wait to introduce you to this week's guest. Hey, I'm so glad you're back for coffee. I am really excited to introduce you to this week's guest. It's my friend Lindsay Maestas. Lindsay and I are talking all about community and marriage. One of the things we're talking a lot about with Lindsay just moved from New Mexico over to Nashville, Tennessee, and we're just talking about what it looked like to leave community, grieve community, and start new community. We talk about hosting right where you are right now, not waiting, and it's just a really sweet conversation. We also talk a ton about what Lindsay's heart beats for, which is strong, flourishing marriages. I'm so excited for you to meet Lindsay, to hear from her, and to be encouraged by her and all that she has to do. Okay, grab your cup, fill it up with whatever you want, and let's dive in. Hey, y'all. I'm so excited to be sitting down with a new friend, Lindsay Maestas, and we're talking about marriage and community and being good friends within our marriages. It's something I'm really passionate about, and I know Lindsay is too. So, Lindsay, welcome to It's Time for Coffee. Thank you for hanging out with us.
Thank you so much for having me on. I'm honored to be here.
This will be so fun. First, what's in your cup?
A lot. I have a lemon water, and then I have an – I always joke that I'm like that difficult Starbucks orderer, that it is a grande iced shaken espresso with 3 pumps of sugar-free vanilla, caramel drizzle, and light cream instead of 2%, which sounds difficult. That. Here's the deal. My husband was a Starbucks barista in college, and so he gave me all of the tips and tricks of things to order. And this one is by far like the perfect combo of a good solid coffee flavor with a little bit of sweet. So it's not like overly sickly sweet, you know? So
yeah. I like that. When I'm being bougie with my coffee order, it's like – it's a I have to think about it because I haven't ordered it in a while because it's just pumpkin season, so I'm just getting the cold brew. Yeah. I order a grande Americano with 2 pumps white chocolate, 2 pumps pumpkin spice, or 2 pumps vanilla.
Oh, I like that, the Americano mixed with a little sweet. That's interesting. I haven't tried that before.
Yeah. Just like a hint of milk on the top of it. Yeah. It just – it's nice. It's a nice little thing. So
– yeah.
Try it out.
Okay.
Okay, Lindsay, you guys just – well, I guess first, would you introduce yourself to our friends? Just tell them a little bit about who you are and what you do.
Yes. Okay, I'm Lindsay Maestas. I am a mom of 2 boys and a happy wife of almost 10 years, which is insane now. I just moved from Albuquerque to Franklin, Tennessee, born and raised in Albuquerque, full-on desert mode. I actually had a boy we were running today for my son's school, and he was like, where have you – we were talking about cacti, and he said, where have you seen a cactus? And I said, like, what? He said, I've never seen a cactus before. It was so interesting to me because obviously that's all I grew up around. Anyway, so now we're in Franklin, really just kind of experiencing a change of life. I host the Living Easy podcast, a top-ranking Christian podcast that I speak really openly and candidly and kind of confrontingly sometimes about sex and marriage and motherhood and relationships as a whole and just kind of healthy healing through biblical transformation and truth. So I do that. And then I launched the Wife Project from Roommates to Soulmates, which is a marriage course that has just – God has totally blessed and made really incredible. And it really just encourages women to kind of evaluate their own hearts and to look at themselves, because it's really easy to look at our spouse. And I could look at my husband and be like, you should have done this. You should do this. You could do this better. But it really begins with us. And so that has been really incredible, kind of seeing the response of that. And yeah, that's pretty much it. And then I'm a mama. And I love people. I'm pretty a social butterfly. So I love like community and stuff.
That's so good. We started a community group this spring. And so we had like our first big like outing as like a group. And it was like a bunko night. And it was a situation where I know the people like throwing it and all that stuff. And we all walked up together and I looked at them and I was like, we don't know each other well. I won't sit at the table. Like I will be all over this place. So I'll see you guys in a little bit. And they're like, you're a butterfly. I'm like, I am a butterfly. Like, yes. I will just be all over the place. But like, I'm like, but these are all my people. Like everybody is in the same spot. So when you said that,
does
like,
it energize you? Butterfly. Does it energize you? Like refill your battery?
Oh, so much. Like I'm a firm believer that like that scripture that says like, sweet friendships refresh the soul. Mm-hmm. That is what like being a social butterfly is to me. Like it refreshes my soul. It charges my batteries. It like, you know, you like fall into bed later that night, like,
like it was so good. Happy. I always tell my husband that it was so good. And he's like, you say that every time. Like, I know. But you know what I've learned about myself, Jeanette, is like, especially recently, that coming to a new place, having had a very tight knit community, of course, living there my entire life, and coming to a place where I don't know anyone, I understand loneliness more than I did. And I think it's given me a sense of empathy for moms who are alone, just people in general who are alone. And it's also given me the opportunity to learn to be really intentional, that it doesn't just come, but then that allows me to teach on that and help with that. And that it just blesses me. Like the comfort God gives to us, we're able to give to others, you know? But I've also seen in the moments when I'm feeling really depleted and kind of even angry or depressed, where normally I would go to my room and be like, I need alone time, which I do occasionally need alone time. I would end up being in my bed and like reading a book and just feeling more sad. And I've tried to replace that lately with when I feel even really tired, like emotionally tired, or I feel really emotional, I will, instead of going to my room and like isolating, I will call a friend. And it seems almost counterintuitive because I'm like, I'm exhausted. I've been around people. Right. I've been around my little children. I've been around my husband. But it really does just refill and I'm really adventurous. So I'm like, let's try a new restaurant or let's go here and do this. Yeah. And it does – it helps me to feel just a little bit more human on the days when I feel really broken down.
Yeah, I think that that human aspect of it is really good because I didn't realize probably until we moved here I told you earlier, we moved from Texas to – or Alaska to Texas about nine years ago. I just assumed everybody made friends easily. Like I didn't know – and especially like doing work in friendship and what I do here on the internet, I just thought people made friends. Like I just thought like you just walk up to somebody and make a friend.
Yeah.
It's taken me like this long to realize that like, oh, some people like don't like walking up to strangers or, oh, it doesn't come so naturally. Like – and that's where God's like, no, Jeanette, like I've gifted you with this. And so you have to like steward it and then like share it. And so that's been, it's been a really funny thing because I would be like, I can just go make friends. But there's that paralyzing fear of like, I don't know anybody. I'm going to walk into this building and I don't know a soul here. And it is crippling in a sense, but then I'd have to like give myself that pep talk of like, okay, you don't know anybody's name right now, but you will when you leave. So you have to walk through those motions. You have to look around. You have to be willing to say hi and ask for help or directions or anything like that. And so it's one of the biggest challenges I give our friends is like, hey, I understand it's going to be really uncomfortable, but if you don't do this, what's going to happen? Like you have to – like I'm like you're pushing people out the door result. To be brave. Yeah, be brave and just say hi. And so – I would love to talk about that a little bit more with you. So you guys just moved from your home state town to across the country. What was leaving your community like and what has it been like transplanting yourself into a new community?
Oh my gosh. Really quickly, because I keep thinking it. Have you read The Great Alone?
No.
The book?
Wait.
Okay. It's about Alaska.
Yes. Kristen.
Okay.
Yes. It actually, let me tell you, it's so good.
Yes.
And it is so accurate.
Oh, really?
Like, so often those books just miss the mark as far as like Alaska, but that one's really good. My grandparents and my mom actually like moved from Colorado and they like homesteaded and all of that. Mm-hmm. So it was a very much like, I know this. Like, and we like know Homer, like everything. So, yes, it's great.
That's so cool. Yeah. For anybody listening, The Great Alone, it is a phenomenal book. It is a fiction book, but it is emotional and like it just tugs at your heart. It took me a little while to get into. I would say honestly, like 3 to 4 chapters, I was pretty slow.
Yeah.
But then I just, oh my gosh, one of the best books. Anyways, so leaving my community, that was something that was quite a bit more difficult than I anticipated. So I just felt really ready. And I'm the type of person, it's a positive and a negative thing in my life where I can kind of chameleon myself, I guess I would say, yeah, to my circumstances and situations. And so if I'm in a place where I need to meet new people, like I just, it is a gift, kind of like you said, I think, to just say, okay, then I'm going to meet new people and I'm going to make this happen because that's just my situation. And in leaving people, it was kind of, okay, it's time to say goodbye. And now you go and say goodbye. And I do say, I think that's something that Jesus is softening in me, because there's this hardness of, I think truly it was a lot harder for a lot of our people than it was for me. And of course it's different because I'm going to something new and to something exciting. Right. And I mean, really to a better place to raise a family, which everybody agrees to that is around me. So it can be challenging to be the one who feels like you're being left behind maybe. And so I've really tried to stop and step back and to put myself into their shoes, because I have had friends leave me and I struggled with it. I pulled away. I kind of became jealous or envious or frustrated, whatever it might have been. And so I think it was a lot of the leaving process was a lot of communicating to those people that just because I'm leaving doesn't mean that our friendship is over or that our relationship is over. Yeah. And I've been really intentional with quite a few of them, with Marco Polo. I don't know if you use the Marco Polo app. It's like the video texting. Yeah. It's so good because you can just sit it up and get ready or clean and talk to them. And so it continues building that relationship. And so I really didn't have much emotion at all nearing the end of it. I did feel like an emotional roller coaster, but I knew, okay, I'm going through a huge life transition. But the day of my going away party, oh my gosh, they threw the most amazing party for us. It was like so beautiful and so full of all of the New Mexican things, and made us these huge baskets of food and treats and just memories. And we had friends who, and I'm sharing this, I'll give you the reason why I'm sharing this, but we had friends who wrote letters. And so they all, it was mostly my friends, the girls, but they wrote letter after letter of like our memories together and like the importance of our relationship. And then they made me photo books of like all the time with the boys and with me and with my husband. And I think I went into the going away party thinking like, I got this. I'm just too excited to go, that I love my people and that love is never going to change, but like, I'm so ready. But reading those books and those letters, like it makes me emotional now, it was just a lot. And saying goodbye. And then, of course, you have all these other people who I'm much more stoic than most. And so my sisters and my friends are like sobbing hysterically. So all that said, it was a really good moment of not closure, but just of allowing my emotions to be what they were. And I ended up crying the entire party. I don't think I stopped crying the entire party. And it was sweet because I walked away and I told Jesse this when I left. I said, what a gift that we have so many people to cry over, you know, and so many people who love us in the thick of our mess, and my very imperfect friendship and my very imperfect love that I've given to them. And they still show up and they still love me. And I just came here with that, I think, in my heart, and also with the beauty of technology and the ability to communicate with them in such a way that it doesn't, I don't know, I don't feel the disconnect. I've had moments where I've been people sick. Like, I'm not homesick at all, but people sick, yes. But FaceTime has helped a ton, and just being intentional with those conversations has really helped us. So I think the biggest struggle, Jeanette, honestly, like that I'm really battling with, is praying and hoping that my friends now are not like, I don't know how to say this, are not stand-in friends, to where like they don't ever fit that mold of my long time friendships. But one of my close friends moved here with me, and we just started spending time together a couple of years ago, and she's become one of my very best friends. And so I realize you don't have to have known somebody just because I'm used to it. since second grade, kindergarten, in order to be really good friends, because now you're meeting someone in a season. And the beauty is, and this is something I really love, is that I get to choose those relationships. I get to choose the people that I want to surround myself with. It's not necessarily like they come along with you, but you have the ability to say, I want to pour into you, or I value your wisdom and I want you to pour into me, or we have this equal relationship. And to make really good choices on like if they really benefit your life in a way that honors the Lord, and that if you benefit theirs as well, and just being discerning and making those choices. I think it's a really unique opportunity to have that.
I love that. And I think you're so right, because as we make friends as an adult, it's one of those things where we have that opportunity to say like, ooh, you're bringing out something in me that isn't the best. Like, it's not the best. Mm-hmm. I don't want to say the best version of myself, because that's so mm-hmm. self-helpy, but like, you're bringing out something in me that's not great. So yeah. I have to like pull back. But I think also making friends as adults gives us that room to be like, what are my expectations here? Mm-hmm. And when we have like friends from middle school or friends from second grade, those are like, well, we're like, you're kind of stuck together in a great way.
It's just who they are and yeah, who you are and who we are together. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. You know too much, and yeah. this is life together. Yeah. Like, yeah. this is what it looks like. And so as we make friends in a new city and a new season, you kind of are allowed to like step into like seasonal friendships, in a sense of like, okay, our kids are in school together, we go to the gym together, all of these things. And you can allow room for that to grow to lifelong friendships, or you just kind of like allow it to be a friendship, like, and let mm-hmm. it, like, I don't want to say like let it run its course, because I don't think like friendships have to be flippant and whatever, but like, there's less pressure on it, I think, is what I'm trying mm-hmm. to say.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I fully agree. And I think there's a lot of ways. I get a lot of questions about how do you even start making those friends? Like, how do you yeah. move to a new place? And obviously social media, having a platform, has helped me, because I shared a lot of our move and that we were going. So we had people like, hey, I live here, I'd love to get coffee. So that's been awesome. But I mean, also, I think so much of it is just getting out of your comfort zone, which again, I know not everybody feels like they can do something like that, but I just see the value in community. And I know that Jesus didn't yeah. create us to live on an island, and that we are the body of Christ, and my hand or whatever it is worthless without the foot and the mouth and the nose and the ears and mm-hmm. all those things. And so I think when I see that, and I see that my boys need that example of community, they need that example of being held accountable and being loved and serving others, even when it's inconvenient for us, like those types of things make a lasting impact on our homes and on our families. And that's one of our core values as a family, is servitude. And so if something arises that is a need, we will drop everything so that we can do that, not because of who we are, but because of what Jesus has called us to as a family. And so I want them to see that. And I also really want to foster those relationships for my kids. So a couple of things that I've done since I've gotten here. One, I wrote on my Facebook neighborhood group. Apparently, a lot of neighborhoods do this. I know that the South is a little bit different, but I think there are like city groups or neighborhood groups, or even like motherhood child care groups. There are tons of Facebook groups for your city, for almost every city. Yeah. And I went on our neighborhood group and I said, hey, here's the deal. We're new here. We need friends. My boys are this age and this age. Do you have any kids around that age? If so, we would love a play date. And I, being as outgoing as I am, was honestly a little nervous with that one, because I'm like, I don't want to seem desperate or eager. But right. it was so cool to see the immediate response of so many moms, like, oh, we need friends too, or oh, we haven't made new friends yet, or oh, we're always willing to make new friends. Yeah. And so I had so many responses that I ended up hosting a brunch at my house. Our house is still like in shambles. It's still a project. And I chose to not let that hinder me. Perfect memories, I always say on the Living Easy podcast, perfect memories and imperfect homes. Like, nobody wants to come into a perfect house, because then they feel like they have to make their house perfect yeah. when you go into their home. Yep. And so it's in shambles. Like, I did make a cute little spread for breakfast, and we had brunch, and it was really nice. It was really awkward at first. Like, honestly, the first 45 yeah. minutes, my husband was in here and he was all, Lindsay, it was a little tough. I said, I know, but you have to get to the point where you break the ice. And it finally did hit that point and it got really comfortable. And I just went out to dinner with one of the women. It was amazing. And their boys have been coming over almost every day. And it was just that one little, making that small initiation and trying to pursue that, I think can be really, really beneficial. And then also visiting your neighbors. So many people don't know their neighbors. So many people keep their doors shut and they close their garage door before they can even look outside. And I just think the Bible is really clear in calling us to love our neighbors and to allow our home to be a refuge for the world rather than from the world. And I want the people to come in and sit at my dinner table. And sometimes that begins with like going to a neighbor's house and saying, hey, I made some cookies. Would you like some? Would you guys like to come over for dinner? And it's shocking how many people desire that fellowship. Like so many people have lived here and have never even met other neighbors. And so being that the bridge builder a little bit, I think could be a huge blessing, not only for you, but for the people around you.
For sure. Jesse, my husband's Jesse as well. And so my Jesse is definitely the host in our family. Once people are in our home, I'm totally great. But he's the one that initiates the gatherings because, and I needed to hear what you said, because I'm like, well, if we're going to invite people over, I need this room painted. I need this going here. I need it to like feel better in my own head and in my own heart. But that's just being discontent, to be totally honest with you. And so I'm like we have to do all this stuff. And he's like, no, we're just going to have people over. And it's been a really big call on our year this year to have more people in our home. And it's been like, we're going to get to know our pastors better. So we're going to invite them into our home. Mm-hmm. Our youth group doesn't have a place to meet. So they're going to meet in our home. Our small group is going to meet around our table. Like, it's just been this call to bring people in. And it's been, you see so much fruit. Like, there's just fruit abundance. Like, I just am like so grateful because our youth group met here one night and the youth leaders stayed. And it was just like getting to know our youth leaders a little bit better. Yeah. Also, one of them was only 3 months old when 9/11 happened.
Wow. That is pretty crazy.
Yeah. I was like,
I'm old.
I was like, I was opening a bottle of wine and I'm like, I'm 35. I was like opening a bottle of wine. I'm like, you can't even have this.
Oh, that's funny.
Oh yeah. So
yeah. No, I love that though.
I love that. And
I think that it's great. I think that, and it's like I said, it's not always comfortable. It's not always the best experience either. But you are giving people a place, like I said, refuge from the world. Like, their world may be chaotic. Their home life may be chaotic. Their just experience as a whole with Christians may not be the proper experience. I mean, I don't know what is proper, but it may not have been a loving experience. And I want to provide that no matter what season of life you're in, no matter what sin you struggle with. I don't care. Jesus sat with sinners. He came to heal the sick, not the well. We are here to love and to disciple and to pour into those. And I always say, like, please don't apologize for your bathroom, because then it means I need to apologize for mine. Like, I think that we have this real tendency to look on Pinterest, I am fully guilty, and think that we need this perfect space to entertain. And I've even spoken to friends who have said, oh, I would have had loved to have you for dinner, like, while you lived here, but my house was too small. I'm like, there's no such thing as to, do you have a table? That's all I need. I don't care how small your house is, how undecorated your house is. And I think that we just need to, we need to start that way. Like, and that's what I told my husband, is I'm used to going all out and being super bougie and making everything really fun. And I love to cook and I love to host. But coming into this, I said, you know what? I'm not cleaning that up. I'm not fixing that. I am not making it all perfect and untarnished, because life right now doesn't look like that. And I don't want to set this expectation for myself that these women don't have for me right now, but I am creating that when I make my house perfect. And then every time you feel like you have to maintain that and keep up with it. But if they come into your life and you just say, here's who I am. Sorry, like, we're not dirty. I won't have dirty stuff, you know? I take care of what God has given me. But if we have pictures and kids' things and toys around the house, it is what it is, and it allows them the freedom to then open their doors to you as well. And so I just think it was really good for me to step back and just say, okay, Lord, it is not about this. Like, it's just about knowing them in their hearts, and nobody has been called to perfect. So why am I trying so hard?
This show is part of the Converge Podcast Network and is sponsored in part by
Hey, I need to tell you about the best Christmas gift you could give your daughter, your best friend, your mom, your sisters, your nieces, all of in June. I mean, if you've been around for a while, you know how much I love this nail polish. This nail polish is long lasting. It's healthy for your nails. Like, it doesn't damage them is mostly what I mean. I love it, and I have got all my girlfriends hooked on it. So if you want a great gift for your friends or anybody out there, check out oliveandjune.com, and you can use code JeanetteT20 to get 20% off your first order. If you need any help figuring out what to buy your friends or what colors to get, slide into my DMs at Jeanette Tapley on Instagram and ask. I would love to help you pick out some colors for your people. So don't forget, Olive and June makes a great gift. Also, send this to your husband. Let him know you want some Olive and June for Christmas. Trust me, it's the gift that keeps on giving this holiday season. Nail polish. That's right. Okay, back to today's show. Let's talk about marriage, because this is something that you're super passionate about. I know, yes. We're going to turn. I have been married for 17 years, and it has been the joy of my life. Like, we got married super young. I was 18 and a half when we got married. Jesse was almost 21.
Wow.
So we have definitely grown up together. And so it's been one of our challenges is to, like, continue to grow up together, because growing apart is easier. Mm-hmm. And so keeping those, like, similar hobbies and just not allowing too much time to pass for anything. So tell me, why is your heart so passionate about marriage? Like, I have my guess, but I'd love to know, like, your heart behind marriage.
I come from a divorced family, and seeing how challenging that was for my mom and my dad, but also how challenging it was for us as kids. I was only 4, but I remember so much, and I felt so much. And I know so many listeners can understand that. You know, we had cops picking us up from the other house because they just couldn't deal, and we couldn't take this shirt there and that shirt, and different rules and different boundaries. It was so difficult. And not to say God cannot redeem divorced families, or I know that is just, it happens. But for me, I didn't want that. And as I started digging into my relationship, I struggled a lot. I had been very sexually promiscuous when I was in high school and college. I was raped when I was 14. And so coming out of that, basically, I had told people, my whole story is on episode 30 on the Living Easy podcast. It's my testimony. So you could hear the whole thing there. But yeah, thank you. But basically, I told people, and, like, nothing was really done, because it just cliche. He was a football player. We didn't want to mess with his reputation. So I was really dismissed, and I didn't know what that meant. I'm 14. I mean, when I look at a 14-year-old now, they're children. And I thought I knew everything. But after that point, I just felt like it's what men deserved. And so I started sleeping around and jumping relationship to relationship and placing this relationship on a pedestal, which was ultimately idolatry. And I couldn't be lonely. Like, if I felt like a relationship was slowly ending, I would have another on the back burner to contact them and be like, hey, can I come over? And I felt like I owed them sex and all these things. But then Jesus changed my heart and saved my life and showed me what, like, beautiful sex looked like within the confines of marriage, which took a lot of healing and growth within my marriage. But I also struggled with trust like crazy, because I had cheated and I had been cheated on. And I walked into my marriage, like, constantly questioning my husband. And sometimes he gave me reason to, sometimes he didn't. So we worked through a lot, but I finally hit a point in my marriage. I remember one time I was just laying down and we had gotten in a fight, and God said to me, not audibly, but I just felt it in my heart, Lindsay, you can either sit here in your pride and not go and speak to your husband and apologize, and the enemy will drive a wedge into your marriage that will never be put back together. Or You can choose right now to honor me and go to your husband and ask for forgiveness for anything you have done, not expecting anything back from him or giving justification, and then point him back to me. If you continue pointing him back to yourself and what he did to you and how he hurt you, you're going to rip this marriage apart. And so is he. You know, we both would. You have a choice now. Are you going to honor me and fight for the good of your marriage as a ministry, as a testament of my love for you and for the sake of growing the kingdom? Or are you going to be so self-focused on how he treats you, how he loves you, what he does or doesn't do for you, that you allow the enemy to just create a foothold in your marriage? And I made a choice that day. And not that it has not been a struggle ever since, but that is what I teach on now, is it's intentional to like him on some days. When I don't like him, I still choose to love him. I still choose to serve him. When he made me mad, I'll go make him a cup of coffee and like feels like chewing glass, and I'll go and give it to him because I know that makes him feel loved. And it is coming to a place where I say, I'm not responsible for my husband. I'm not his Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. God did not call me to be a fix him wife. He called me to be a love him wife. And that's a huge premise of the Wife Project. I want to serve him and point him back to Jesus, even when he fails me, because ultimately this is just not about me. And it's been really cool because that led me to start speaking to other women who have gone before me and men and couples and asking questions and digging deep into the Bible about what it says about the beauty and the gift of sex and the beauty and the gift of marriage and of forgiveness and grace and parenting together and the little foxes that eat away at your marriage and working through those. Because usually it's not those little things, right? It's not the big things. Mm-hmm. It's the little things right. That add up.
Yeah.
And so in the podcast and on the Wife Project, I teach a lot about just practical ways to love well and selflessly. And one of the things that resonates the most with my audience is to find their eyes. And I just want to leave this with your audience because it's heavy on my heart. That sometimes, especially with children, when our husbands come home, or say we come home and our husband is home, either way, we have a tendency to like unload. I had a hard day, or these are all the things the kids did today. Can you believe it? Or I'm just exhausted. I need to go to my room. Granted, I get it. I feel you. Sometimes yeah, I just need to run away and run to Target as fast as I can. But I just challenge you to, when your spouse steps through the door, you step through the door, find their eyes. Everything can wait. Even the screaming children can wait a minute mm-hmm. while you find their eyes and you say, hi, I missed you. I love you. Give them a hug, show small pieces of intimacy that then leads to the large pieces of intimacy. Because really, the marriage problems are not marriage problems, they're God problems. And when we have a hard time finding our spouse's eyes and loving them because we're resentful or we're bitter or we're frustrated, that's a God issue. We need to deal with that with the Lord and allow Him to remind us, like, we are to be filled with the love and the peace and the joy of the Holy Spirit and pour that out onto our husbands in such a way that without saying a word, he is impacted by the love of Jesus and he sees the love of Jesus in us. And so just wrapping them in your arms for 1 minute, looking at them, not talking about your day, not doing anything, but just making them feel seen and loved, just as you desire to feel seen and loved, you will see the changes in your spouse. And I think that's what I see a lot, just in closing, is people say, well, yeah, if my husband did this, I wouldn't have to nag. Or if my husband did this, I wouldn't have to, you know, not be intimate, like withhold intimacy. Or if he did this. No, you're responsible. The Bible says to examine our own hearts. You're responsible for yourself. Yep. And I speak to wives because I am a wife. You know, Jesse and I are working on the Marriage Project together too, to speak to men and women. But it is something where I just feel this like gravity to encourage people that it's not grass is always greener. Like, it is not easier to go through the divorce. I've seen it all. It's awful and it's hard and it's mm-hmm. painful. And you're just going to find problems with somebody else. And so if something is broken, don't let the entire house burn down. Start fixing it as soon as you see that first flame. And know, like, Jesus has you. Jesus desires a healthy and good relationship and marriage. And that is important to focus on and to care about and to pour your time and energy into above all else, because ultimately That pours down onto your children. You're breaking generational curses by learning how to fight fair and love hard and communicate healthfully. And they see that. And then they pour that into their own marriage and into their grandchildren, your grandchildren, you know, and it just keeps going. And so all that to say, sorry, very long-winded. Yeah. I'm passionate about it. And that's why the Wife Project became what it is and just really has my heart and my soul.
I just applaud you because I know it's hard. I don't want to say that because I'm like very, very much like we don't say friendship is hard. Like that's one of like my rules. Marriage is worth fighting for because otherwise yes. we are just establishing those same patterns that we've seen before us. And I love that you're kind of changing that narrative too of like, it's a self-evaluation and a turning to the Lord for ourselves first versus the victim mentality of like, well, you did this, so I'll do this. Mm-hmm. Or I can't because, or all of that. So I really, really love like the heart check on that because I'm a big proponent on that in friendship too. Like we have to be good friends first. Like we have to be a good wife. We have to be like a solid spouse so that mm-hmm. we can love well. And so I think that's really, really beautiful. And I'm excited, man. I love what you're doing. And I think that it's really going to benefit so much and so many marriages. And, you know, I think so often our world's been just told on like the feelings, and I love feelings. I love that God made us feelings people. Mm-hmm. I don't want to be a robot.
Same.
I think that we have just relied on like, well, I don't feel like this is working anymore. It's like, okay, what does that mean? Like, mm-hmm. like how can you fix it? Or how can you like surrender your marriage to the Lord? And we've had to do that so many times. Like, just like, okay, mm-hmm. like we believe in our covenant. Like we believe in this. And so we're just going to hand it over to the Lord and we're going to surrender both of our hearts and do the work. And I love that you're giving people a safe place to do the work.
Thank you. Yeah. And it's a commitment to, like you said, it's work. It's a commitment to do that work and to know there are disconnected seasons in a relationship where you may not feel it all the time. And that's okay.
Yeah.
But there comes a point where you say, okay, am I going to fight through this? Or again, am I going to go find different problems with somebody else? There's a saying, mm-hmm. I said it throughout the course and stuff, but that the grass is always greener on the other side, but it's greener where you water it because you're going to go into a new relationship and you're going to give your all and your best self. And it's the honeymoon stage. So what happens in your marriage 10 years, 17 years down the road, you have to find new and fresh ways to be adventurous, to date face to face and side by side. I talk a lot about that too and what that looks like and find one another on the new level because they may be a completely different person than they were when you married them, but you committed to them. That is a covenant between you and God allowed it mm-hmm. and he is in the thick of it and he could make it more beautiful than ever before. And I am a huge advocate of sex. I just think that intimacy, sex as a whole, God created it. It is a beautiful gift, but it is really challenging for some women. I have a full series on the Living Easy podcast of sex and Christianity, where we talked through a lot of kind of the struggles that women and men have with embracing the sexuality and intimacy. But I also strongly believe that that can truly save a marriage. So I love it. I think that marriage is I have such a great time. Jesse's truly, truly my very best friend. And so I think that's it. It's like, I just desire that for other people. Like I desire for them to feel how sweet it can be. Not that it's the ultimate thing.
Yeah.
He's not my joy or my peace,
no.
But it can't be that way either because then he'll crush me. When he fails me, which
but
he also, will.
Yes. But I think that like while they're not the ultimate joy and peace, they are such a source of joy and peace. Like,
yes,
I look at my Jesse sometimes and I'm like, man, I find so, and I tell this to my kids too, like when I find joy in my children, which is often, I'm like, man, I find so much joy in being around you. Like I really enjoy the fun that we get to have together. And part of me is like, we've worked hard for this joy, like not only like within our relationship, but within like building a family. I'm like, we have worked for this. Like we get to celebrate together because nobody else knows the hours that have been put into this home like mm-hmm. you. And so it's like, for sure, we're going to celebrate. For sure, we're going to hang out and enjoy each other's company. So,
amen. Good for you. Thank you for everything that you do, Jeanette. I appreciate you. I love your podcast. I think you're wonderful. And you're great at interviewing, so thank you. Thanks for having me.
Lindsay, we believe that there's a season for everything under the sun. What is it time for in your own life right now?
Slowing down and quality of life. Mm. I actually asked on my Instagram today, Living Easy with Lindsay, I asked what, and this is paraphrased because I don't have it at the forefront of my mind, but what would you change if you knew that this was actually the best time of your entire life? Like, it's kind of The Office. They said, what if we knew we were in, I wish we knew we were in the good old days before we left them. That sometimes I just think, gosh, we don't know when the best time of our life is. And so I want to cherish every moment. I'm very futuristic. I'm always like trying to achieve and go to the next best thing. And I just want to be present. And I feel like in our world with social media, we get so distracted. And I'm always asking, am I looking at my phone more than I'm looking at my children's eyes? Am I looking at my phone more than I'm looking at my husband's eyes? Because I don't want to miss this. And I think at the end of my life, and I think about the end of my life a lot, because I think
I'm a big legacy person too.
Yeah. It's brevity. Like it is, it's so quick. And I want to be in the moment and present and cherish it and not looking back to my past or to my future. Instead of just slowing down and being here, one of the best books I could ever recommend in life, if you struggle in any capacity with hurry, is The Ruthless Elimination of Hurry by John Mark Comer. It is phenomenal. And talks about following the way of Jesus. He was never in too much of a hurry for somebody. He, even if he was on his way and someone stopped him, he stopped. He had compassion. There was a slowness to his life that we do not imitate. And so that is what I'm just praying that the Holy Spirit will continue kind of challenging me and convicting me in, is to slow down, to shut my screens off far, far more often. And to just be in my moment and to cherish what God has given me, because this life is so fleeting.
Mm-hmm. Man, I love that so much. That book is so good. And I just, I wish we rested more. Like, I just wish as a culture that we were more easily restful. And so I'm praying that over our generation for sure.
Amen.
Awesome. And then where can we find you and follow along on all the things that you do and your platforms and all the good stuff?
Yes. Instagram at Living Easy with Lindsay is probably the best place, kind of where I share all like the biblical relationship encouragement and challenging scriptures and things like that. And then also on my website, sparrowsandlily.com. And then, of course, on the Living Easy podcast, which launches every Monday. If you go subscribe, we talk about, like I said, marriage, motherhood, friendship, relationships, kind of navigating life, how to read and study the Bible, theology. You just dig into most things that I love. Multi-passionate.
Oh, yeah. Well, yes. Aren't we all? And I think it's fun. That's a good time.
It's a gift. Yeah.
Lindsay, thank you for hanging out with us. Thank you for joining us for coffee and for sharing your heart and sharing those hard parts about like leaving community. I think that we all like get kind of, like you said, caught up in like the exciting new things that sometimes we don't take that time to grieve and to like sit in that like loneliness, but also like how that can be a catalyst to finding new friends, and how you have taken that on as like a new season.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you so much. Thanks for being an encouragement to me and for being an encouragement in that to women, because I think it's a real blessing, especially in this season of deep isolation, that it's very heavily needed. So I appreciate you.
Thank you. Thanks, Brad. What a great conversation. I loved hanging out with Lindsay today, and I loved hearing her heart for marriage and friendships and community and just hosting. Man, I took so much from just that little bit of where we talked about hosting. I hope that you will run over to Instagram, thank Lindsay for hanging out with us and for joining us for coffee. While you're there, be sure to check out her course, The Wife Project, that's going to take us from roommates to soulmates, a course that's all about deepening our marriages. So I'm sure you're going to want to check that out. Thank her again for hanging out with us, and I'll see you next week when it's time for coffee. Thanks so much for joining me for coffee today. I hope that we're already friends on social media, but if we aren't, come find me on Instagram at Jeanette Tapley or on Facebook at The Jeanette Tapley. If you have any questions about the show or what's coming up, be sure to check out itstimeforcoffeepod.com. I hope you have a great week, and I can't wait to see you back here next week when it'll be time for coffee. Bye, friend.
This show is part of the Converge Podcast Network.